So let's get into the word. I cut things a little shorter today because there's a little length to my message. Don't worry, I'm not going to speak for an hour. I shouldn't say that. I'm going to try not to, but I do want to bring a message out that I know the Lord really laid upon my heart in our theme for this year that we're going with, and I think it's really going to touch your... So I just want to give it some time today and allow the Lord to minister to us. And so, Father God, I stand behind this pulpit as your servant, as a vessel, and I pray a vessel fit for your use. I ask, Lord, that these things that you have placed in my heart and my mind, that they would flow, God, but they would flow under the guidance of your Holy Spirit. And as they flow today, that we would hear you speaking to us, not Pastor Ken's voice, but the things that you have for us and the things that you want to change in us and the things that you want to do in us, Lord. Father, I love that you love us and we love you back because you love us. You first loved us. And so, God, I pray that today you would take us away from any distractions, phones, anything else, Lord. Let us focus on you, God. And Lord, let us hear your voice so clearly and walk out of this building today knowing God has truly spoken to me. Lord, that's what church should be, and that's what we aim for here, trusting that your Holy Spirit does all of these things. Lord, transcend the airwaves, the online waves, whatever we want to call it, the internet, those that are tuned in online today, God, just let them be blessed by your word as much as if they were sitting here today in these chairs, knowing that you are doing great things in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to speak a message called Singled Out. Singled out, and I want to talk, what we've been talking about in these series of messages is the difference maker. We know him as the Holy Spirit, the difference maker. And this is what this whole first quarter of this year, the first 3 months of this year have been about, this series that we're talking about, looking at a people and a church that are full of the Holy Spirit. And the series that we've entitled for this year, it's our annual series, is called Full of the Spirit. And so this is what we've been looking at. This is what we've been talking about. Now, so far, and you can find these online, so I'm not going to preach the messages, but I will give you the gist. So far, we have looked at the church and disciples in the book of Acts, which brings us to our verse for the series this year, and that's found over in Acts chapter 6, verse 3. This is where we took our theme from. And I felt led by the Holy Spirit as I prayed this October and asked the Lord for the theme for the new year. And this is what he gave me, Acts 6:3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit, there's the theme, and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. And this is what we've seen so far. We've seen that the church that is full of the Spirit is a church that is experiencing powerful ministry. I'm believing for powerful ministry. Those of you that are going to join us in the puppet show, I'm really believing that as you stick that puppet on your hand and as you do what you do, you're going to hear a lot of children laugh. They love these things, and we're going to get a little zany with it as we bring the gospel. There's a great song that we'll do, Ticklish Reuben, that every kid loves. It's just about laughing and the joy of the Holy Spirit. But anyway, as we do that, I'm believing that you are going to enter into, as fun as it's going to seem, you're going to enter into powerful ministry. And that powerful ministry is going to change a child's life. If what we do behind that puppet curtain changes one child's life, everything we do with 10,000 eggs and everything that Georgia has done to fill all those eggs by herself and everything we do to lay all those eggs out in these fields, these three fields, and everything that we do that day is worth it if just one child is changed. How many can believe for 20 children? Amen? Amen. Amen. And maybe even parents, praise God. Because we're going to do our cakewalk, and we're going to do those things for the adults, and we're going to believe for the adults to be touched as well. So praise God for that. The church that is full of the Spirit is a church that is experiencing powerful ministry, both in their meetings. Lives are being changed. How many know lives are being changed today just from the preaching of the word, from the songs that we sang, and also in their world? That as we do what we do here, folks, you get to go out of this place and tomorrow go to work and play around and do things in life that you do with people. And guess what? Some of what you're experiencing today and what Jesus is doing in your life today is going to affect those people that you live with, those people that you do life with. We believe that. The church that is full of the Spirit is a church that is preaching a powerful word because it's the word of God. And the Bible says about itself that the word of God will not return void. It will always have effect. And so I know that as I'm speaking, some of you are hearing different things because of the things that you're involved in and because of the places in life that you are at. But I want you to know, I believe with every part of my heart in preparing these messages, God, praise God, I can speak that word today, Lord, because it's not going to return void. And so somewhere this word in your heart is going to have effect today. I believe that with all my heart. It's a powerful word. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we will have a greater understanding of it and then be able to share it with the world around us because we have a greater understanding. We said that the Holy Spirit will use God's word clearly in our lives to keep us from the things of this world. Not only to keep us from the things of this world, but praise God to keep us from ourselves sometimes, right? Because sometimes, how many know we're destructive sometimes? We don't always make the right decisions. And so God's word speaks and it says, no, change this about your life. No, put this, add this to your life, add that to your life. Get involved in these things and get involved in those things. And so he keeps us from ourselves. We said that the Holy Spirit uses God's word to keep us from the traps and the attacks of the enemy. Anybody ever fallen into an attack and a trap of the enemy? Boy, I've been there. It can destroy your life if you're not careful, right? Because that's what he's out to do. Rob, kill, and destroy. And also, that word of God sustains us in the dark days in which we live. As I said last week, talking about Ukraine a little bit, I can't imagine what they're going through, those people. But I still believe that those ones who believe in Jesus Christ are being sustained. And God somehow is keeping them and watching over them. And that's the promise of God. He will never leave us or forsake us. And so we continue to pray for people around the world. In China, where if you believe in Jesus Christ, it's getting a little easier, but still you can be jailed for having a Bible. And so many of the Chinese brothers and sisters in the Lord, what they do is they memorize complete books of the Bible. And so when they're together in their churches, they just recite those things and they have the word with them. So praise God for that. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters. In America, we're comfortable. We're spoiled brats. And we don't understand what other people that are serving Jesus are going through right now today. And it's time that we do that. Then we took a change and we began to look at the powerful conversion of a man named Saul. Because not only did Saul's conversion change him, but God used his conversion to change the church. Today, the church that is full of the Spirit is just like the church that Saul or Paul became a part of. They are a church with a spiritual vision. They are a church that sees what God sees. We're going to talk about that a little bit today. Understanding things around them from a godly perspective. If you don't have a godly perspective in the things that are happening in our world, you're missing out on what God is up to. Many people don't think God is even moving. There's a teaching that's been around for a lot of years where God pretty much created the earth, created mankind, and then left. And just left them all just to do their own thing. That is not true. And if you'll pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to open your spiritual eyes, not just your physical eyes, to see the things of God, you will be amazed at how God is working and what God is doing. So praise God. They are a church with a new message. As I already said, they have a new clarity and an understanding of God's word, but it is also a spirit-filled word. The Bible says about itself that it's God-breathed. In other words, when these men were writing the Bible, when they were writing these books that became these letters that became the Bible, God was, through the Holy Spirit, breathing on what they were writing. It's a living book. This is why you can read any other book and you probably won't learn a whole lot of new things unless it's a how-to book and you miss something. But you can read the Bible every year, complete, repeat it every year and find something new. Why? Because it's a living word. It changes in our situations and our circumstances and speaks to who we are. And so it's a spirit-filled word. It's a God-breathed word. It's a living word. It speaks of who Jesus is and what he will do. It speaks of total trust and faith in him in everything, not just in the good things. We said that they are a church that is united. We are united in our calling. We're going to talk about our calling today. We are united in our sonship, in the fact that we are called children of God. We are united in our worship. That's what we experienced today as we put songs on a screen and we began to worship together and praise God together. And we are united in our victory. Amen? Really, it's his victory, but he shares it with us. Praise God. That's what the communion table was all about today. And then last week we looked at Barnabas as we spoke about the comfort and encouragement that the Holy Spirit gives us. We said the church who is full of the Spirit is a church of encouragement and health. And it is a church that is back on task, back where God needs the church to be, or moving forward, as the message was entitled last week. In other words, being led, equipped, and used by God's Spirit to bring change to their world. And then I closed last week's message by speaking these things over this church. I'm going to speak them again because I believe them. Abundant Living Church, hear me. I'm not putting out any other church, but I'm not a pastor of other churches. I pastor this church. So I need to believe for this group of people. I need to believe for this fellowship. And this is what I believe God gave me in closing. I'm going to speak it over all of us again. I said, Christ is strengthening this church. Christ is empowering this people. And this church will go on no matter what we face. This church will continue on its course. This church will do great things for Jesus Christ. This church will see people's lives changed. This church will bring in the harvest of souls in these end days. And this church will stand as a lighthouse in a darkened world to shine the light of Jesus and his word and his power in our world. Amen? Amen. Turn with me over to Acts chapter 13 today. This is where I want to go. Over in Acts chapter 13, moving forward, we've been in Acts chapter 6, we've been in Acts chapter 9, we've been in Acts chapter 11, and now we're in Acts chapter 13, and we're going to look at the whole chapter, but we're just going to look at a few verses this morning first. Over in Acts 13, we're going to look at both of these lives now, Saul and Barnabas, how they come together, and the church that is full of the Spirit and what happened. So, Acts chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. My first point today is the church that is full of the Spirit knows its calling. The church that is full of the Spirit knows its calling, because if I can add to this something I'm going to speak in just a few minutes, it is the Holy Spirit who calls us. Amen? Now we see here that the church in Antioch was blessed with many prophets and many teachers. We have a list of them here. And so this church was blessed with men who could teach and men who could preach and men who could lead. Barnabas and Saul being mentioned among them, all the men who were doing many great things in the body of Christ, and yet these men are singled out by the Holy Spirit, Barnabas and Saul. Now, Paul will touch on this in his writings to the body of Christ, and he will talk about how this works. Over in Romans 12, 3 to 5, he says this, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body," talking about the body of Christ, talking about the church, "but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." And so we see that in the many members of the church, not just this church, but every church of Christ across the world, we see in many members and the giftings of the body of Christ in this church as well, we have many different giftings. And so we're glad that you're here, because you bring today a gifting to our body that maybe we didn't have, or maybe we were weakened in. And so God says, "I'm going to add this person, I'm going to add this family to this church, because they're going to bring that level of faith and they're going to bring this gifting into that body." Praise God for that. This is why a pastor is excited as the church grows, because he knows that the giftings are going to come out and there's going to be different things that are happening. And many of the things that you're seeing happen in our church today aren't because Pastor Kim and Sister Kim. If you know anything about us, we have tried and tried and tried, and we're not, our time isn't always there and things, but people have begun to step up and say, "Well, I can do that. Well, I can do this. Well, I'll be about this and I'll be a part of this." And what a blessing that is to a church and to a pastor. And so, but even in those areas where our giftings overlap, because we do have men, we do have women that are gifted in the same things, there is a calling out by the Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 12, Paul talks about it again. He says, "And he gave him some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." These are the ones who are called out within the members of the body. It's not that people aren't doing those things. Do we have teachers here that aren't called to teach other churches? We do. Amen. We have. We may have apostles here that will be raised up. And I'm going to talk about that. And evangelists that may go out. And so we have them, but they haven't been called yet. Okay, but God blesses the church. And he says, for what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so what Paul's saying here, and what I'm trying to bring out this morning, is this. In the midst of the giftings of the church family or body, because every one of you have gifts, spiritual gifts, in the midst of those giftings, there are those who are called out. Set aside for me, separate for me, Barnabas and Saul, because they must be about the calling that I have placed upon them. In the midst of the giftings of the church, there are those who are called out. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. And that's why if the church isn't moving in the things of the Holy Spirit, they may miss out those ones who are called out, those ones who are to be separated. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. And we see this happening with Saul and Barnabas. The Holy Spirit led the leaders of the church to separate them. The word there for separate is the Greek word aphorizo. And it means to be set apart for some purpose. So God says, take these two teachers, take these two leaders, set them apart, pray over them, and send them out because I have a different job for them to do. In this case, the Holy Spirit makes clear for the work to which I have called them. See, that's what the separation is. That's the calling of the Holy Spirit. I received my calling to ministry in sometime around October 1982. Yes, I'm that old. And I was in high school. I was a junior. I was going to graduate in, I was a senior. I graduated in June of 83. And so I'm a senior, and there's a movie that we have at this church. I just watched it last night on YouTube. You can find it. It's a little hokey. It's a Christian 80s music. Does that tell you? Okay, they did the best they could with what they had. They didn't have the finances and the reception that they have today in Christian movies. So ordinary guy. Guy was a, and you probably heard me say this before, but there are new people here today. I want to tell you about my calling because this, I believe, is real. And so my calling came in about October. I was probably sitting right about there in the pew there, and we're watching this movie on a Sunday night. Guy is just a nominal Christian. He goes to church, but really isn't moved by church. A lot of Christians we have today in the pews. And he's marrying this wealthy woman. The father of this woman is going to bring him into the company. And this young woman that he's going to marry has a younger sister, Frida. Frida wants nothing to do with Christianity because she lives in a family where really Christianity's never made a difference. They still live the same way. They still say the same things. They just go to church. And in the movie, they make that very clear. You see them sitting in the car, driving to church, not talking to anything, not excited about anything, just driving to church. And they go through the emotions of being a Christian, but never really talk about being a Christian. And so Guy, you know, he meets Frida, and Frida tells him these words. My problem with being a Christian is I know too many of them. And she just refuses to follow Christ. And so Guy, his heart's changed. He goes into the city where the gangs are, and he goes into the city, and his heart is changed when he sees these young men who have no leadership. They're killing one another, and they just have no leadership. And so he begins to seek ways to minister to these young men. And through this, he is becoming more like Jesus Christ. He's able to get an old gym. They have to go in and kill all the rats in the gym. So he has a rat killing night. And naturally, Donna, his fiancée, won't go with him because she don't want nothing to do with those kids. And she even tells him to stay out of the city because it's not a safe place. And so he goes in and has this rat whomping night, and they clean the gym of all the rats, and they start to get the gym ready, and he starts to hold these meetings with these young men at the schoolyard and in the gym. And some of them are not accepting the Lord, but you see them changing, and things are happening. And so in the end, to not prolong a story, but I think it's this important, I want you to see what I was called under if you don't know this. And so in the end of this, Donna breaks up with him because he's busy wasting his life, doing non-essential things. He doesn't want to work for the dad. He wants to become a youth pastor somewhere. And even though that falls through at the church, he's still ministering to these kids. And so Donna's like, you know what? You're going nowhere in life, and you can't take care of me. And so he's trying to figure out what to do for these kids. So he gets Frida involved. And he gets Frida involved. And Frida, she's a gymnast. And he goes, you think you could teach them gymnastics? And as they're loading up the van, he goes, but there's one thing, Rita. What are you going to do if they ask you about life? And she goes, I'll just shrug it off. He goes, no, you need to give them Jesus Christ. And so she says right there, she goes, I guess it's time to get ready then. She bows and gives her heart to Jesus. And so they start this program with the boys. And then one night, he gets word that there's going to be a gang war in the city. And so he tells Frida, don't you go. And she goes, are you going to go? And he said, I don't know. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to be let the Lord lead me. And he goes. And there's like three guys. And as they're reading the Bible, you hear the gunshots in the back. And a guy, I can't be here. I got to go out. I got to support my guys. And they leave. And then everybody leaves. And so he's locking up. And I'll never forget the effect that this had on me because I knew what God was calling me to. And as he walked out the doors of that gym, they come running at him. And they shoot. And he gets shot and killed. I remember in that pew the calling, God calling me out with a gunshot victim working with young people. And I was like, God, I remember walking up to this altar and saying, God, I'll give my life to ministry, but don't let me get killed. Selfish, isn't it? I'll give my life to ministry, but don't let me get killed. Little did I know that you have to die first to be in ministry. Amen. And so I've never been shot by a gun, but I've been shot by the words of man. I've been shot by offenses and greedy people and just people who think that they know better how the church should go and those types of things. I bear those scars, and I'm still here today. And then at the end of that movie, at the funeral, after everybody says their piece, the gang shows up and the funeral director's there, and he's the only one, and they pull a gun on him and they say, open the casket. And he does, and they place all their weapons into the casket and walk away from that life. And I remember giving my heart to the Lord. I remember the call. Jesus, I'll serve you. Now, I didn't follow through with it right away because I was still selfish. It took me about a year to figure things out and know that this is what God was calling me to. But I can tell you that through the years that Kim and I did youth ministry in Collings Lakes, which isn't the inner city, but it's also a tough place. Hundreds of kids coming on Wednesday nights, 100 kids easy. And us running this youth group of kids who were predominantly not churched, would never be churched, and just telling them the love of Jesus. And through these years, I've been at that casket. I've seen them die from overdoses. I've got their children now in school. And I'm experiencing some of the pain of them coming to me and saying, Pastor Ken, or PK they called me, I wish that I had just listened to you when you told me back then what I needed to do. And still say to them, it's still time. If you're alive, there's still time. But it's just amazing. And I say that not to glorify myself, folks. I say that to tell you about a calling. People are called. It was the hardest thing in my life to come into this position because I knew I had to leave youth ministry. And it was the love of my heart. Don't get me wrong. This is the love of my heart today. I just didn't know that God could change my heart because I knew that I was called to change young people. And now I still do the youth group whenever kids show up. So I still get to do a little double dance. Amen. The Spirit-filled church knows its calling. Its people know what they are called to do. I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and guess what? I've been a senior pastor for 22 years, double time. Amen? God knows what he's doing. But no matter what, the call of my heart is to be a pastor. Whether it's to young people, whether it's to adults, whether it's to a church, I'm called to be a pastor. I'm not called to be a missionary. I'm not called to be a teacher. Any of those of you that have sat here on Wednesday nights or in one of my teaching classes in OSL, you know that it's not very soon that before that teaching session turns into a preaching session. Because I'm not a teacher. It's not my gifting. Can a pastor teach? They most certainly can. But I'm going to tell you what, there will always be preaching involved. And there's a difference between teaching and preaching. Now, there's a lot of teaching that goes on in preaching, but I'm called to preach. I do teach as a pastor, but as I said, if you've heard me teach, you know where it ends up. Notice that these other prophets and teachers did not get jealous at Saul and Barnabas' calling. Notice that. They fasted. They prayed. They laid hands on them and they sent them out. It was a joy for them to support their ministry. Marie Nye, you would probably be the only one here that would remember that day that I got called. Praise God. This lady, she's been in this church forever. Praise God. Well, I shouldn't say that because that makes you sound really old. And you're really, really young, sister. Praise God. And so they fasted, they prayed, they laid hands on them, and they sent them out. It was a joy for them to support their ministry. Now, we know this because later in his writings, Paul will talk about many churches who gave and supported what he was doing in his missionary efforts. So the church that is full of the Spirit is joyful in the separating and the commissioning and the sending out of the called ones. Why do I say that? Because sometimes when people get called in the church, there's jealousy. So I went to Bible college then with five other students that got called to ministry, okay? I'm going to be very careful in what I say here. I went to Bible college with five other students at the same time. Three of them went ahead of me 1 year because they graduated before me. No, I'm sorry, they went ahead of me because I didn't follow through with what I had promised God. I was still looking to live my own life, so it took me a year to get it together. So they went ahead. So they're a year ahead of me in Bible college. So can I tell you this? When the call came from the pastor of this church in 1988, I was graduating in May. They wanted to hire me in June to be the youth pastor. When that call came, it was not received with enthusiasm by everyone. And there was some real jealousy in the other people of the church. They're not here anymore, so I can say this. And they're not even in ministry, so I can say this. There was real jealousy on their heart because they thought they should have been. They graduated a year ahead of me. They should have been the ones that were put in this position. But see, it's not about what man thinks. It's about the calling of God. Amen? Amen? Amen. We need to know that. Let's not get jealous when a brother or sister gets promoted in the things of God. Let's not get offended when somebody else is lifted up to a position. You have to trust that God is speaking. You have to trust that the Holy Spirit is doing. Has Pastor made mistakes before? He most certainly has. But I'll tell you what, I'm on the other side of a lot of those mistakes and have learned a lot. Amen? Will I still be perfect in some of the things I do? No. But this is why I have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Praise God. And so there were no jealousies that they didn't get picked. They don't go about talking about them behind their backs or to other offended people in the church. They pray and support their ministry. They trust God in and rejoice in what these men are called to do. Why is that? Because they also know what they are called to do as well. If you know what your calling is in the church, you are not going to be upset when somebody else is called to be separated. If you're downstairs teaching the children and you know that that is your calling, then do it as unto God. And don't worry about somebody else. If you're called to greet people at that door when people walk in, visitors walk in and give them the mug and the things of the church and greet them and help them find their seat, then praise God, do it and do it well to the things of God because that's your ministry. That's what God has called you to. See, the church understands its calling. They know what we're called to and they understand that when people are called out, that they're blessed as well. They're happy serving their church family in the ministries. There's excitement and enthusiasm when they come to church on Sunday and they greet people at the door. It's a joy when we all understand our calling. Amen? Listen to me. God is not finished here at Abundant Living Church. There are still people who need to find their place in ministry here. Their ministry in this church, their ministry in the body. Might some be called out and set apart for other things? I have a sense that that is going to happen. Surely that will happen. Even in a small church our size, we may have apostles and teachers and other preachers and things that God says, separate them for me so I can send them out to do what they are called to do. Amen? And we will rejoice in that. Amen. Praise God. Let's move on. Acts 13, 4 to 12. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Now, there'll be a fight over John later on, but we'll talk about that later. Now, when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, it's the same person, Bar-Jesus, Elymas is his translated name, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, this is the first time we see Saul named Paul now, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him, looked at the sorcerer, and said, "O full of deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. So Saul rebukes this sorcerer, knowing that he's speaking into the ear of the proconsul, who wants to become a Christian, who's very interested in becoming a Christian. Paul rebukes him. As he rebukes him, a curse of the Lord comes upon him, and he's blind and must be led around by his hands. The proconsul sees this happen and instantly turns to faith in Jesus Christ and follows the teachings of the Lord. Now, this here deals with something that we've already looked at in previous messages, but I think it's important to see how it works. And these scriptures really bring light to it. And here's what I want to talk at today. The church that is full of the Spirit is calling out the darkness around them. Hallelujah. This would go back to seeing as God sees and the spiritual vision that we talked about a few weeks ago. Do you know, church family? Let me ask you this. Do you know, church family, that there are people all around you who need Jesus. I know you know that. But do you recognize that sometimes they're blinded by outside forces to receiving him as their Lord and Savior? And the reason why I say this is because there are many Christians today who are frustrated at their attempts to bring a family member to the Lord, to bring a friend to Jesus, to minister to a loved one or to an associate, a co-worker. And they're frustrated because they do it all the time. They're preaching at them all the time. They're living before them all the time. And no matter what they do, it just seems like it's never going to happen. Now, I'm not talking about demonic possession, though I do believe in demonic possession. And I do believe that it must be cast out if it's there. But how many know? Very few cases of demonic possession, though I believe that is that level is beginning to rise as demonic activity is taking place in these last days that we're living in. Okay? What I'm talking about is a spiritual oppression or a spiritual blindness or something else that the enemy has used through the forces of evil to blind this person to becoming a Christian. This could be you. You might be the person I'm talking about. You might be online. You might be here. And you've been sitting in a chair and you've been wondering about serving Jesus, but there's things in your mind because of other things that you've seen, because of other things that you've experienced, and you're like, well, I'm just not ready yet. Well, I'm just not ready yet. Well, I'm just not ready yet. Listen, it's spiritual oppression. It's spiritual blindness that's being brought on by the enemy. And no matter what you do, Christian, it just seems that you cannot break through. Well, let me reassure you that the word of God will not return void. Amen? Isaiah 55:11 tells us that. But there might be something that you need to get on your knees and confront in that person's life before that person will be willing to drop their arms or to drop whatever wall they built to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We see that in this biblical example. It's like removing a blockage in something, an artery, a vein, a pipe, a highway. Right? Removing a blockage in something so that the product or whatever is moved through that pipe or that highway can move once again freely the way it was meant to do. And I can tell you, it is only the Holy Spirit that can lead us to know what that blockage is. If I have a blockage in my artery, if I have a blockage in my vein, Lord, I'm not asking for that. But if I do, guess what? I need a doctor to be able to tell me that. If there's a blockage in that person, that loved one's life, if there's something that's hindering them from becoming a Christian, that's spiritual, there's spiritual oppression, there's a spiritual battle over their life, only the Holy Spirit can pinpoint that to you and tell you how to come against it. This Roman leader of this area was curious about Jesus. He was a very learned man, the Bible says. This proconsul, Sergius Paul, right? Or Sergius Paulus, whatever his name was. And he wants to know Jesus. He wants to hear from Saul and Barnabas about Jesus. But Elymas, this sorcerer, kept blocking him. Maybe he made appointments for him so that he wouldn't be there when they came. Or maybe he was whispering in his ear, oh, these guys are lying, man. You ought to see what these guys are doing. They're not speaking the truth. And he would tell them lies. He would speak non-truth. And so he would keep this man from knowing the truth. And through the power and wisdom of the Holy Spirit, Saul, it's the first time we see him called Paul, calls him out. He rebukes him, and he tells him that you will be cursed now because of what you are doing. And we see that when this blindness comes upon this sorcerer, that the proconsul is astonished at the power of God and opens up his life to serve him. Church family, brothers and sisters, we need to season every effort we make of leading people to Christ with prayer and fasting. We need to know what we're up against. Sometimes we go into a fight that we're not strong enough to fight because we're not there with Jesus yet. We may need a brother to go with us. We may need a sister to go with us and fight that fight together because there are very strong demonic forces on this earth. 1/3 of all the angels fell with Lucifer. They are the demonic forces on earth today. Don't think there's not demons. 1/3 of all the angels. I don't know how many millions and millions of angels there are in heaven, but 1/3 of them fell with Lucifer when Satan fell. And so they are here and they are doing his bidding. They are very much alive on this earth. And so we need to know what we're fighting against. We need to seek God's wisdom to what is affecting that person's heart and keeping them from moving toward Jesus. And then we need to begin to that obstruction and we need to begin to cast it off, just like Paul did here. Let me tell you something, Elymas, you're not going to do this anymore. You've been blocking the word of God going to this man's heart. And right now, God's going to judge you and God's going to bring a curse upon you, instant blindness, being led around for the rest of his life by his hands. The proconsul sees it and says, this is God. Instantly, it was done. That can only happen through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I want to show you one more thing. I don't need a lot of time today. I'm going to, I think, finish very close to time. So jump down to verse 42 because verses 13 to 41 are just a sermon that Paul spoke okay, in the synagogue. He talks to Israel about their past, about their rebelliousness against God, and about returning back to God. And so that brings us down to verse 42. Because after Paul speaks that message, the Jews get very heated and very upset with him and starts to cause problems for he and Barnabas again. Verse 42. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, after Paul speaks the message, when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we now turn to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to..." This was their calling. "Set me aside, Paul and Barnabas, to what I was calling them to. Here it is. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of God. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't have time to elaborate because I've taken a lot of your time today. But I really just want to draw your attention to something about their calling here. Paul and Barnabas, through the situation and the negative that were coming at them, recognize their deeper calling of God. These are the places, folks, where you and I might have quit. These are the places where you and I might have backed up and said, maybe I didn't hear the calling of God. Maybe I'm not called to be this. Maybe I'm not called to be that. That's the way the enemy works. They did not do that. They allowed the Holy Spirit to minister to them in these negative statements, in these negative comments, in this blaspheming and everything that these Jewish people were doing to them. They chose to say, "Holy Spirit, we didn't miss it. So what is it?" And their calling is just spelled out in a deeper and more sensible way. They are called to bring the word to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were the dogs. If you were not Jewish and it came to the Jewish faith, Gentiles were dogs. We know that because when Jesus is asked about when the Gentile woman, the Samaritan woman, or is it just a Gentile? I forget. One of them. Samaritans were Gentiles. Anyway, but when the woman came and asked him to heal her son, Jesus said, "What do I have with you being a Gentile?" And she says to him, "Jesus, even the dogs get the crumbs that fall off the table." She understood her place in the Jewish thinking. But she says, "Even the dogs get the crumbs." Guess what? The dog was about to get the steak. Do you hear what I'm saying? It had been reserved for the Jewish people for so long. And anything that the dog got was just the crumbs that fell off the table. But Paul and Barnabas are called now to Gentile ministry. This is a change in our world. You need to know this. This is a change of our calendar. This is a change of time. We studied this in the end times prophecies. This is now going to the times of the Gentiles, the church age. It is switching away from the times of the Jews. The Jews have been blinded now for all of these years. They do not see Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They cannot understand him being the Messiah. And for a short time of history, it will now be time for the Gentiles. That's me. I'm a Gentile. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. That's time for us to know the things of God and to become children of the Most High God. That's why we fly an Israeli flag. Because any hope that we ever have in Jesus is found in them. They are the people. They are the ones that God made the covenant with. Now God has blinded them through Paul and Barnabas and Peter, and now gives us the opportunity to become children of God, to be engrafted into the vine of Israel. That time is about to close. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Jesus is returning very soon. That time, the church age, was about to close. We are coming to the end where now Jesus will begin to turn back to Israel, and the Gentiles will not have the opportunity anymore to receive him as Lord and Savior. It's closing very quickly. If you don't know Jesus, it's time if you're not a Jew. Because very soon our world is going to turn to the Jews. What's happening with Putin? I don't know if Putin will be the world leader or not, but the two nations, America is not mentioned in the end times. I don't believe we exist as a powerful nation. I don't know what's going to bring us to the end. I have no idea. But the two nations that are mentioned are China and Russia. the bear and the dragon. They are going to amass together. We see it happening. China's already supporting Russia over in Ukraine. And rest assured that China is watching what's going on in America and what our president is doing or not doing. And they are saying, you know what? We're going to go in and take the nation that we've been watching. You watch it. China is about to move into, what is it, Taiwan or? Taiwan, right? China is about, because they know that America can do nothing and is not doing anything. And so China is about to move into Taiwan and take them over. This is all a test. And so what is going to happen? These nations are going to join. They will be the world powers in the end days. And they are going to come against Israel. And Jesus, the Lord, is going to turn back towards Israel. And it will be their time again to receive him as the Messiah. Praise God. So let's not waste our Gentile time. Amen? Let's accept Jesus today. Let's live for him today because it's closing like that. Now, I want to add some thoughts to my last point. Many times when we receive such resistance, I already said that. Okay, never mind. Notice how the Holy Spirit here led Paul and Barnabas, verses 46 and 48 again. I got to close. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary. They're speaking to the Jewish people. It was necessary that we spoke the word, that we gave you the stake first. It was necessary. You're God's people. But since you reject it and you judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, guess what? We're taking the stake to the dogs. We're turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, have I set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now, when the Gentiles heard this, like myself and like you, we were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as been appointed to eternal life believe, because we didn't have a hope before this. Aren't you glad today? Let's not allow the rejection. Church. Let's not allow the obstacle of this world toward what God has called us to do to hinder us or dissuade us from doing it. Amen? Let's pray. Let's seek God's face. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us and to guide us through it and go forward and touch our world with the love of God. Remember the reason why Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit in the beginning, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's why we are a Spirit-filled church, because we have been called to witness the power, the mercy, and the grace, and the word of God to a world that is dying and losing and going basically without knowing Jesus. It's not because they're bad people that they go to hell. Anybody who goes to hell only goes to hell because they didn't accept the sacrifice that Jesus made. That's it. Doesn't mean right or bad or good. I'm not good. I just accepted Jesus. Amen. I was smart enough to say, hey, Jesus, there's something with you. There's something going on. At the age of 6, accepted Jesus in my heart as Savior. That's the only difference. There's no good or bad. It's we either accept what Jesus did for our forgiveness of our sin or we don't. That's what it's all about. And so we have been given the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses for him. Amen. Let's pray.